श्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन् ऋतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रं दत्त्वा ज्ञानप्रदं गुरुं मुमुक्षूणामितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते. नमस्कार. गुड् मॉर्निंग एवरीबॉडी. In the home stretch of Tattva Bodha. So hopefully not just home stretch Tattva Bodha of the text, but home stretch Tattva Bodha of our own our own understanding of this. And have to keep looking into it, inquiring into these things. And we discussed the crux of the matter of why Jiva and Ishvara, you and the totality, are not two separate things. And again, something we have to keep looking into. And what happens is a knowledge that just remains conceptual, a knowledge that hasn't been really understood completely, it doesn't help us when needed. Right? This is illustrated in Mahabharata war, where although Karna had this knowledge when he needed it, it wasn't there. When it was really necessary, he couldn't use it. So a knowledge that isn't really assimilated just remains there and we can't use it. Like somebody can learn to drive and they just learn in theory, but then if they do in practice, then they won't be able to do that thing. Interestingly, just came to our mind because the example of driving, a real world scenario like this, is a few years ago somewhere, whether documentary or interview, some general in the U.S. Army, in the Navy actually, he said that today's navigators, or however they drive the ships around, what do you call the captain that drives the ship, navigates in the water, aren't as good as they used to be because they train with virtual things. They have a virtual setup for their training and not the old way where they're actually doing it. So the knowledge isn't ready there. So the same way, aham brahmasmi knowledge, until it's really established, the palam isn't there. There will be some result, of course. But, you know, we look into it, and obviously we come to class because we see it's doing something. So it's not that there are no results at all. It frees us from a lot of things, and so many small things that we're caught up in. So many, they say there's, in the Dhritisha Viveka we're studying on Thursdays, Hridaya Granti, the knot of the heart, which is the confusion of the separation, is gone. But one knot creates many, many knots. So moksha isn't just, there's general moksha, but moksha from every small thing. One small thing I'm caught up in, I'm freed from that. Oh, it's so wonderful. So we are freed from many things along the way. But the bottom line, in the end, full freedom, then we'll have to have the, you know, dritta nishchaya, as they said here, that just as we consider ourselves as this person born this place, with these ideas, with these likes, dislikes, etc., etc., the jnani sees himself or herself as the consciousness, not this body, not this mind, not any of the conditionings, but Satchidananda, the absolute existence, consciousness, not limited like this. So we have to keep looking into it. And what happens is we keep doing the Shravanam to really put the teachings in front of us and to, so that we really are looking at them again and again, seeing the whole picture. As Vijayji here would give examples, it's like drawing the picture, and as you keep hearing it, meaning looking at it, the picture gets more and more clear. And we have to be meditating on it, because our counter ideas, our counter habits actually, they take precedent out of habit. That's what a habit is. You automatically do it. So to strengthen this samskara. And then we have many doubts that are attacking it from different directions. Well, this is very good, these teachings, but that but is the doubt. But maybe like this. It sounds very good, but this problem I have, so I don't know if these teachings really are pointing it out. So we have to bring it up again and again and look at it. Any issue, anything, we have to look at it from both angles. From, okay, where it, as an individual, yes, individuals, there always be issues, always problems. There has to be, because it's something limited, something changing, something that goes through some major changes. But as consciousness, has what changes happened? So mananam, we have to look again and again to help to clarify this for myself, because I have doubts about it. Because of the doubts, then my attention is elsewhere. So in any case, so we saw the Jivan Mukta is the one who has that clear, natural understanding of who they are, like this, doubtless knowledge, like this. So this is, at least we have some idea of it, we have to keep looking into it. And sincerely looking into it, then we can do a casual inquiry, and that's fine, but it's like the musician who practices here and there, and you know, maybe even some small performance, a little bit with some friends, but doesn't get to the real depth of the music, compared to one who's passionate about and really practices, really looks into and has a much deeper understanding of everything to do with the music that they like. So this is the same kind of thing. So in any case, so we are talking about the Jivan Mukta, and now we're on page 41, where it's discussing more about the Jivan Mukta. Brahmevahamasmiti aparoksha jnanena nikila karma bandha vinirmukta syat. By the immediate knowledge, I am Brahman alone, there shall be total release from all bondages of karma. So now we looked at what the aparoksha jnanam is. In our last two classes, we have pratyaksha jnanam, we get knowledge through the senses. And what happens, pratyaksha jnanam, we have the proper instrument. I see you, to see you, I need the proper instrument, I need the eyes. Right? My ears, my sense of touch, they won't do. They'll do for other things, but a blind person can touch and then feel what you, but can't see you, can't see the shape, the color. And hearing, you need the ears, like this. So pratyaksha jnanam, you get information through senses. Then paroksha jnanam, using my mental faculties, like that. That, okay, something that's not through the senses, I get through inference. And the classical example we gave was smoke and fire. I see smoke, then I know there's fire because of experience and because of using some logic, I can do this. This morning I saw it's wet outside, so I knew it must have rained at night. I didn't see the rain, but I know it rained without seeing it, like this. So this is using something not immediate to the senses, like this. And then we said self-knowledge is not through the senses, not through the mind. These aren't the proper instruments for it. Because the thing is, I'm talking about myself. And myself is there regardless whether the senses are there or not. Senses functioning or not, I'm there. And whether the mind is functioning or not, I'm there. Deep sleep, no senses, no mind, I'm there. Right? Some of the time meditation or you're very present, I'm there. Senses, mind don't have to do with it. So the aparoksha meaning immediate, no medium of senses, no medium of mind. And we said that all the teachings, so I know I'm there, I have no question, right? I am. Do you have a question if you are or not? You have no question. But the problem is a misunderstanding of myself. I take myself to be something which I'm not. I take the upadhi and add it to myself and say, this is what I am. Right? And what happens is, it all goes very well, but then I identify with the upadhi. Any problem with the upadhi I take is my problem. Like this. So then that's the whole confusion, and that's what causes the issue. That's why any other teaching, as it said earlier, the Vedanta helps to clarify this. Any other teachings that we take, they have to do with the upadhi. But that's still upadhi. It's not you beyond the upadhi. That's why this is very unique, how it is pointing out to clarify for ourselves. To clarify, I'm the conscious being, not the upadhi, unaffected by the changes in upadhi. The sun is shining on the water. It has a beautiful reflection. But then there's moss in the water. You can't see the reflection clearly. The sun wasn't affected, just the reflection. There's movement in the water. The form of the sun isn't clear now anymore, but the sun itself remained the same. So the changes in the upadhi in the body, you the conscious being, didn't change. Changes in the mind, you the conscious being, didn't change. I identify with the upadhi, the problem is there. I identify with myself, the conscious being, where's the problem? So they say Vedanta is very, very interesting. For the jnani, there's like a gap, a conundrum, a very interesting thing. The jnani doesn't see any problem. What problem is there, right? But the student who's trying to learn it only sees problems, doesn't see the solution. So, like two opposite sides, like this. And then, unfortunately, if you got infected by the virus of adhikarityam, of being a seeker of Vedanta, you're stuck. Because to go back just to regular worldly life and everything, it doesn't fulfill you completely. It's nice, but it will never totally fulfill you, see. But I'm not jnani, so I don't know, totally know myself yet. So I'm not here and I'm not there, right? And the one thing is, if you really sincerely look at it, you can never just go back to, okay, I'm going to just be this simple thing. You know, we don't have to have dislike for the thing, for my position, place in the world, things I do. We don't have to, the dislike won't help. That's, you know. But Vairagya is seeing it for what it is. Yes, I'll do it sincerely, completely with love, but I know that that is just an external thing, something, I'm looking for something deeper. So in the end, we have to keep looking into it and be patient, be sincere or patient. But in any case, so the point here that we looked at before was aparoksha jnanam. You know I am. And so it's just clarifying what that is, removing the parts which are not essential, not essentially me because they're conditional. What's there under certain conditions can't be me. I'm wearing the white sweater. That's conditional. Later I'll go out, I'll put on a blue jacket. I'm still the same one. So the whiteness of the sweater, I'm not this whiteness of the sweater. So same thing. The body, the mind, all these things, conditional. You experience them under certain conditions, meaning it's not the essence. But what you experience is always there. And what's always there is hard to put a finger on because you don't know, it can never not be there. So how I'm afraid I won't be there. How can I not be there? When Ramana Maharshi was dying, Then his devotees were very worried and saying, what will we do when you go? And he said, where can I go? I can't go anywhere. What do you mean? So those that said, you know, some emotional attachment, of course, you have to Guru, and or a misunderstanding, a mixture of the two like this. So aparoksha jnanam, I am, without no means needed. Direct, that's the only thing which is direct without any medium whatsoever. And just clarifying this, removing the non-essential from it through understanding. But then here it said, so what, okay, what is this moksha that there is there? It said, nikila karma bandha vinirmuktaha. One thing been pointed out in Sanskrit, long samasas like this, you work backwards. Vinirmuktaha, fully free. Mukta, free. Vinirmukta, completely free. From what? Bandha, from bondage. Bondage, bandha, same thing. Karma, from the bondage of karma. Nikila, all. So freedom from all bondages that come from karma, like this. So this is what it's pointing out, moksha. Different explanations are given, but this is a very nice explanation, because we're bound by so many things like this. And so the jnani is not, the karma is not affecting at all. Now here, actually, with karma, an interesting thing is words have a slight different meanings in different contexts, depending on the context you use. Like Vijayaji here loves to give the example of mouse, right? Mouse, you're working with the, if you just came from somewhere else, you weren't familiar with computers, and the person said, do you have a mouse? They're going to look at you. What do you mean a mouse? What do you mean? And then they don't know the computer mouse, like this. So karma, people think of action. That's the general term. In grammar, it means the object. The object, you know, you have subject and object. Object is karma. Then, in Vedic rituals, Vedic, the priest, it's ritual, karma is the ritual. Here in Vedanta, karma, we mean the karma, not exactly karma pala. What happens is, it's the result of the karma. Yeah, karma pala you can say, but here it's going to be like this, the result. But the result is of two kinds. Karma pala, result, when you do action, two different kinds. One is what's called the drishta pala, what is seen, the direct effect, right there and then. Like for instance, you're sitting here and listening, I'm saying some things. Direct effect, maybe you fall asleep because it's not so interesting, right? That's one thing. Or intrigued, right? In the Hatha Pradipika, there, Lord Shiva is teaching Parvati, the Hatha Yoga Vidya, knowledge of Hatha Yoga. Now what happens is if you tell somebody something they're not so interested, then, you know, they might be polite and listen. So she falls asleep. That was the immediate result. So, but a fish came and heard, so Lord Shiva gave him a human body. So, you know, he's so interested, became for his Hatha Yogi Matsyendranath, you know, the Purana story for Hatha Yoga. But in any case, so the immediate. But then also, that's the scene. This is a funny example I just gave with falling asleep, but you have that somebody in the street pushes somebody else, and so immediate result, that person fell. Now there's adrishta palam, meaning there is the immediate result, but then there is from the moral active, what is their motive? There's going to later be some sort of result also. And here we say, well, that person was about to step in the street and a truck was going to hit, so that person, that's why they pushed them just to save them from it, because they couldn't reach them any other way. Then they get some, it was morally good action. The person scraped their knee and hurt it, but the adrishta palam is that this person that pushed gets some merit, like this punya. But then, if it was something else, from a violent thing, the person just pushed like that, then they'll get papa, so they'll get some negative result. So this is what happens is, this adrishta palam is pointed out. Because drishta palam, the seen result, action has an opposite reaction. We see directly what happens. You do something, you see what happens, no problem. But the adrishta palam, meaning unseen, we don't see it. So this is what is called the adrishta palam. So the thing is here, freed from this, from the result of karma, not bound by this. Because we're all bound by, right here and now I'm living this life. What is this life? It's now the next step ever. There's karma, you do an action. Then there is the punya papa, the adrishta palam will be there. It'll cause that, the immediate result, and then the adrishta, meaning that we don't see the result. One causes the other. Now what's going to happen is that drishta palam is there. It has to eventually fructify, like seeds eventually sprout out at the right time and place. Then they manifest. They manifest, and karma pala is sukha dukkha, right? From the good activity I get, the proper motive, done in a proper way, doing dharmic actions, then I'll get punya. Punya will bring happiness, sukha. From the negative, the papa, I will get dukkham. I'll get the pain, suffering, you know, tension, the mind, all these things in this way. So, karma brings karma pala, brings later sukha dukkha. This is what happens. So this is the karma. And the drishta adrishta, the drishta palam is the punya papa, like this. So this is what's being discussed here. Now what happens is, so the jnani we say is totally free from this, right? So in any case, now we have these three types, these two types of karma, and now it's going to go a little more into detail about them. And then after it discusses, okay, the jnani is free from this karma pala, and I'll explain how and why jnani is free from this. This is how this is going to be pointed out. So let's see, it'll discuss the three types of karma, and we'll go into that. Karmani kati vidhani santiti. Chet, chet should go with that. Santiti chet. Because that goes with the first part. If you were to ask how many types of karma there are, agami sanchitta prarabdha bhedena trividhani santi. If asked, how many kinds of karma are there? The answer is, they are of three types due to differences such as agami, sanchitta, and prarabdha. So now we'll discuss the three types. These three types. Let's read through, then we'll discuss it. Agami karma kim. Jnanopatyanantaram jnani dehakritam. Punya papa rupam karma yadasti tadagami tyabidhiyate. What is agami karma for the wise person? After the dawn of knowledge, the karma in the form of punya and papa done by the body of the wise person is called agami, that which fructifies in the future. Now, agami for any person is what agami is. Just because jnani is being discussed here, it's said for jnani. But agami for you and me is also agami. It's for every human, every person. Sanchitam karma kim. Anantakoti janmanam. Bijabhutam satyat karmajatam purvarjitam tishtati tatsanchitam yeyam. What is sanchita karma? Accumulated result of action. The sanchita or accumulated karma is to be known as that which is the load of karma of countless millions of births which is gathered before and is in the seed form. And last one, then we discuss. Prarabdha karma kimiti chet. Idam shariram upadyeha. Loka ivam sukha dukhadi pradam. Yat karma tat prarabdham. Bhogena nashtam bhavati. Prarabdha karmanam. Bhogadeva kshaya iti. That karma which, having created the body in this world, in this manner, gives comfort, pain, etc., is prarabdha. It is destroyed by going through the experiences. It is said only by going through experiences does the exhaustion of prarabdha karma take place. So the three types of karma, prarabdha, sanchitam, and agami, three types of karma. So what are these three types? We said this karma pala, any action you do, creates the adrishta pala, creates the punya papa, and then due to that, then the result eventually will come. Now one thing about it, the result then is like in a seed form. Since the result is a seed form, do you know when it's going to sprout? We don't know, right? Right conditions it'll sprout. You have seeds in the ground, some come up now, and some didn't get the water or whatever, they somehow got stored somewhere. Like I have seeds from a few years ago, sometimes I put in the garden, they come up. They're a few years old, like this. So at the right time, they will come up. So we don't know when it will be. It's too complex that we'll ever know. So the thing is okay, so at the right time, place, it'll come up. So that's how are we going to know? And this life itself came from previous karma like this. So the three types he was talking of sanchita, right? Sanchita, gathered, means that which has all been gathered. So the honeybee goes to all the different flowers, gathers a little bit from different flowers. Some of them gathers maybe a lot more, right? A lot more of the nectar. Some of them just a little bit. So same way, we're buzzing around through many different lifetimes. buzzing, gathering some karma from this one, some from that, and then all that has to be accumulated. So we need the hive, the beehive, to where the honey is kept, where everything kept. We need, so all of it gets accumulated. All the karma pala, the adrishtam, all the punya papa gets stored somewhere. So all of that we have. Now it says, Koti janmanam, countless births. From countless births we have, so that's all stored in this place. So you have that whole storage like this. Now some karma is going to fructify. Meaning some is ready to fructify, to sprout up, so meaning I'll take birth. So okay, take birth. That prarabdha, portion of this sanchita, which is ready to fructify, comes up when I'm born. It can't all fructify, it's too much. It's too much to do in one, because it says accumulated from countless lives, thousands, thousands, millions of lives accumulated, too much to do in one. I have, maybe, you know, you buy some packets of seeds, it says it's enough to plant, you know, huge space. Each one is good for a few square yards, and you buy 10 packages, you have one small pot, one or few pots to put it in. You can't grow them all, you can grow a few seeds. So you take a few seeds, you grow them. After the season, you take a few more and grow them. You can't put it all in at once, not feasible. And we'll have different results that cannot mix the same place time, like this. So in any case, so prarabdha, this lifetime, what is set in motion? Prarabdha already set in motion, it's already started. Now once something starts, it'll play out. Right? This lifetime started, it'll play out one way or the other and end, and it's all due to prarabdha, so many things in my life like this. So in this way. Then what happens, there's one more type of karma called agami, that which is coming, Now I'm doing an activity. So the action I'm doing now is going to have some sort of result, right? We said the immediate result, the drishtapalam. We don't need to study about this. We see in our day to day. I know finger in the fire will burn. I won't do it, right? So things that at this moment, I know if I do something like this, this is the result because it's immediate. I see it. But here the drishtam, I don't know. Because the drishtam, it's unseen, so I don't know. But I'm doing now, every moment I'm creating karma. So the drishtapalam, maybe somebody is very interested listening, maybe somebody's falling asleep, that's a drishtapalam. A drishtapalam, I can't see. A drishtapalam, maybe a, you know, somebody is talking for self-aggrandizement. I want to be important, I want to be famous, I want people to like me. So there's some egotistic thing involved, it might be some result from that. Maybe somebody doing selflessly, maybe wanting to help, that's why they're talking. So adrishtapalam will be that. Now where will that go? The adrishtapalam, now it's there. So it'll have to come sometime in the future, whether this lifetime or future. If this lifetime the effect will be there, then you'll see it sometime in this life it'll play out. If not, when I die it'll go, it'll be part of the, it'll get deposited into the Sanchita Karma savings account. It'll become part of the Sanchita, like that. It'll add to that. Now, what happens is, in the Gita, in one of the, when we're talking on the fourth chapter, I think it was, discussing about, okay, karma, how to free from karma, how do you free yourself from karma? So some smart person said, very good, I'll learn how to do my action in totally dharmic way, without attachment, so I won't accrue any karma this lifetime. I'll only get rid of the old karma, I won't create new karma. So I'll be free that way. So Adi Guru Shankara, this is one of the Purvapakshis he brings up. So he says, that's a very nice idea, but there's a problem with it. Number one, you are not going to manage to not create karma. It's so difficult to do to activity without any result. Very, very hard to do that. That's number one. And let's say you somehow manage to do that, you're not going to create more karma, you really do it perfectly. Okay, very good. How much karma you have accumulated for so many lifetimes? Countless. So you want to just not create new karma, get rid of it all, you're going to need countless of lifetimes to do things in that manner. So it's not a feasible thing. It's not going to work. So that's not how you're going to be free from the bondage of karma. Not by, yes, learn how to do karma and it's karma yoga, learn how to do his dharma, learn how to do detached, but that's going to help with chitta shuddhi, purifying the mind, but not directly to free yourself from the bondage of karma. It'll be a preparation which is necessary, but it's not what's going to totally free from karma. So this is one point. Now what happens is also, as said here about the prarabdha karma, once I'm born, now how will that karma get, you know, how does that karma get used up, right? The only way is going through, he said, bhogena nashtam. You have to go through the experience and then it'll go. Because you have the result. Action brings reaction. The reaction has to come. Result has to come. So now I'm born in this situation. I go through a certain experience. That karma pala was finished. That one was exhausted. Next one, exhausted. Like this. So then slowly, slowly, whatever karma before exhausted, but new karma I'm creating too. Like this. So one will say, okay, accumulated from last lifetime, from one before, etc. So, where did I start accumulating karma? Where's the beginning of it? Right? Where's the beginning of it? Tell me. Where's the first lifetime how I started creating karma? What's the answer? Quiz of the day.
If there is no karma, right? Then you should not be born, right?
But no, what? Where's the beginning though? How did it start?
Anadi.
Okay, Arun has the answer. Anadi, right? We say avidya, the ignorance is beginningless. So where did it start? Where did the dream world start? The dream world, you'll say, when I fell asleep. You'll say, no, no, no. In the dream world. In the dream world, where did it start? Well, I'm now middle-aged in my dream, and so 40 years, 50 years, 55 years earlier I was born, and there my parents are there, and their parents, and that, you know, there was evolution, there were apes and this, and the world event was created. But then before that, the world was in dormant form, and then but before there was another creation, and then where did, keep going, where did it start? The dream world never started. But the dream world, the moment you wake up, it was based on avidya. Now it was negated. In the dream world, there's no beginning to it. You wake, okay, now it was negated. So he said, avidya has no beginning but can come to an end. So karma, you can't say, when did the whole thing start? Because you'll say, how come I got into this? We blame the God. Because of God, I'm in this. That's not fair. So first of all, there's no beginning. The God can't put in, if there's no law of karma, how to explain all the differences? If it's random, the God, what is this? Einstein would say God wouldn't play dice, right? He didn't have the weakness of Yudhishthira. You can't, because God wouldn't do it. It has to work in some way that's not just random, and it's not fair. Well, how would it be fair that this person is born with handicap or in worn, torn area, and this person is born very comfortable and healthy? It's not fair. How does it all start? How would it start? Why would the God put us into this and everything? So we say avidya-based. You can't find a beginning to it. Anything, because what happens is, you're born, it's karmapala. Karmapala, because if I don't have result, why will I be born? The birth itself is karmapala. So how can there be a first birth? Any birth, there is a karmapala for the previous one. Any experience, karmapala for something before, that's the result, it's coming to you. A result, your karta, your doer, so bhokta, the result comes. You have to have done something before to be in this situation. So that's why you can't find a beginning to it. That's why science will never find the beginning of creation. They're getting to Big Bang, and they call singularity before, and they might find calculations how to say previous, blah, 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 all these other things. But they can never get to beginning, because this is an endless cycle. A cycle doesn't have a beginning in this way. Okay? So we can't say first creation, we can't say, because creation, because of everybody's karma, creation is there for helping our karma, fructify our karma, go through the karma we have to. That's what it's for, all our prarabdha karmas. So like this, where does it start? We can't get to. So anadi, beginningless, cycle has no beginning. This is what's happening, the karmas. So what happens then is, so this lifetime I have to go through, I have no choice. Now, very interesting thing. One person doesn't put much effort in, right? And they're very successful in something. Something comes to them like this without hard work. Let it be something very good or something very negative. They live very healthy, they don't do anything wrong, suddenly some big disease, some problem. Never saw it coming, there wasn't any indication, anything. So this has to be prarabdha coming into play. It has to be because no immediate thing has done it. So it's the result of from the past. From past action, other time like this, because we can't, how else are you going to explain just happens to come? And on the other hand, somebody else works very, very hard and then achieves something. So their self-effort now made the difference. So one of them, if something comes in this way where it's not your effort that just easily came to you, you put in 10%, 90% came, then it's the prarabdha that helped that come. Effort was there, but other time. If, on the other hand, you put in, you put a lot of effort and then it gets somewhere, then it's your agami, it's the effort now in this lifetime that is doing it, not from previous lifetime, like this. There will be a mixture, you know, you just had the, you say, well, you had the, the character to push through and work hard at, that is pararabdha too. So it's all mixed. You can't totally just say one or the other, but if you really just work hard, you cannot get to something. Okay, that's pararabdha. Like, I'll give one example. Anybody who becomes king, president of a big country or something, prarabdha. Too much effort for one lifetime. Impossible otherwise. Think of that. How much you have to do to get to something. Any big thing, any real big thing. If big success in something has to be. You can't be. And I'll tell you a very interesting thing. When you see small kids that are, when they're young and they're very talented in something, where'd that come from? You know, why is one very talented in this and that? Pararabdha, they, you know, worked at it before. There's no other explanation. Worked at it before, now it's manifesting like this. So one interesting thing about this is, well, before I get, actually, sorry, this one interesting thing, let's say one other thing and then get into it. So now something is coming towards me. I can blame the God. Why like this? Or first of all, I can just, if I don't even have any belief in God, any religious thing, any spiritual thing, you know, by random, or some effort that happens to come to me, or however I think, doesn't matter. I'll just complain, I'll celebrate or I'll complain like this, because there's no reason behind it. It just happens. So like that, no problem. Then I can start blaming the God, why me, or thank the God in this way. I say because of God, God's grace. And then I can even take it to a higher level as a karma yogi or bhakti or bhakta. Whatever comes to me, this is Ishwara Kripa, this is Ishwara Prasad. Then no problem. Whatever comes to me, God's grace, finished. Whatever I do, I'm doing as karma yoga, I'm doing as offering, Ishwara Arpanam, I'm offering, finished. Then you're only dealing with Ishwara and nothing else. Simplifies things so much. This one Mahatma, he says, he went somewhere. He just stays people's houses, goes different places, gives talks. So he said he was staying somewhere in a cold country. So the family was staying, they took him out, bought him some warmer boots and jacket, everything. So the teenage daughter comes home from school. Says, "Oh, Swamiji, you have a wonderful coat and boots. Where did you get it?" He said, "Shri Krishna gave it to me." He said, no, I know my mom or auntie, they took you to the mall and they bought that for you. He said, "Look, you're seeing it that way, that's very good. If I see it that way, I'm going to be very thankful to your mom and get attached to her, want to do something for her. I'm going to be traveling, I'll think about her that she did for me, I'll call her. What'll happen, I'll start getting attached like this to a certain person, place, because of what they do. But if I see that it came from Krishna, Shri Krishna, I'm glad Shri Krishna did it this way through this manifestation. A different manifestation will do a naughty thing to me. It's still Shri Krishna doing, so I have no problem. I'm free. I'm not attached to this one. I'm not angry at that one. Finished." So this is, if you want to put God in the picture, put it like this. Everything comes from the God, giving me what's needed. I do myself offering best I can. Finished. Helps very much too. Clean, if we said we want to clean ourselves from karma, that helps very much for the chitta shuddhi, cleaning. That's when you take the God into the picture. Now the other one, my effort too, the karma, result of karma I did. So now I'm going through something, I don't need to blame anybody, anything. Result of what I did in the past, coming now. No problem. So whatever I came now because of my past, whatever effort I do now will help to shape my future, finished. Nobody else to blame. Don't start blaming the country, the God, the politics, the family, the neighbors, the dogs, the animals, anything. Karma para, what I did, now I'm getting the result, finished, exactly what's needed. It's scientific, fair, there can't be favoritism like this. So on this one, Swami Shivananji, he says like this. Anything that comes to you is the result of your past effort then, right? What you're doing now will bring your future. So he says everything is self-effort then. Now, result of past self-effort, future, your self-effort now. So don't, pick yourself up, whatever you focus in, because whatever you do as you're developing that, I whatever you think, it makes you act in a certain way, so it creates the habit. And that habit slowly, slowly develops then. You know, it builds your whole character, a bunch of your habits builds the character more and more. And from what your character is, how you think, how you act, it'll build your future, it'll build your destiny. So watch your thoughts and actions now. It'll help with creating destiny in the future. So both of these are as we go through life, developing both the surrender, saying everything comes from the God, very helpful, understanding my self-effort needed too. Both of these are needed for understanding like this. And again, these are still within the realm of karma. So these help, the self-effort helps not to feel that poor me, not to feel bad about myself, and to push myself forwards to grow, very important. And the other attitude of seeing that it comes from Ishvara, I'm offering to Ishvara, helps for surrender. So not just ego, I'm doing, I'm great. So learning to work both of these, developing both self-surrender and self-effort helps very much for a base in life in general, and for Chitta Shuddhi and spiritual path, for detachment from things, helps in many, many ways like this. This is, developed things are extremely important, extremely helpful like this for the aspirant. Okay. As we said, it doesn't steal free from karma, but it's very important, very necessary like this. So, let's see what else we have here. Going on with our karma. What else is our karma with karma today? Let's see. So actually then what happens is then with my activity right now then is I need to be aware of what I'm doing. You know, when I take this into consideration, how I act is very important, right? Somebody is working in a company and their goal is to be very successful in what they're doing. So then they're going to act accordingly. They want to get promotion, they want to move ahead. They want to be very successful, do their job very well. You know, whatever it is that they want to, their goal there, they're going to work hard at that, right? So here we say, well, in order to go along with the law of karma, in order not to have it work against me, in order for me to grow through it, then this understanding is needed. And then observing how I do the actions. What is my motive behind the action? Because that creates it'll both build my character, build my future, and also, it'll, most important, builds my own antakarana, my own mind. They say the shat sampatti, if you remember, shat sampatti, the sixfold virtues, this is the inner wealth, because my motive as I do things, the purer the motive, the less selfish the motive, the more I create that, my own mind then becomes a better place, a better instrument, pure instrument for myself. So external success is one thing, but the internal growth is the more important. Because external thing I'll get for some time, it'll go away. It's ephemeral, it'll be for some time. But the internal, that stays with me. I have a negative quality now, if I don't work on it, it'll stay with me for next year, next decade, lifetimes. A positive or pure quality I build my mind, it'll stay with me now and it'll give me more peace this lifetime and next life, etc. So it stays with you much longer. Like this. So the motive behind my action is so important. So as I do the activity, what is my motive? I have to observe that, more important than the external action, where it's coming from. This is the important thing. So Swami Shivananda always says you scrutinize your motives. This is for karma yogi like this. One good way to do it also, as I'm doing my day-to-day, I'm observing and seeing my motives, seeing what action I'm doing, how I'm doing, why I'm doing. And then at the end of the day, if I just take a small stock and look back at the day and see what I did and see, oh, this thing, this way I acted, it really was not out of the right motive. I did this out of jealousy. I did this out of anger, not with thinking deeply. Good, I see that, very good. So that I can do a little better. I'll put more effort in this way. This, I got a little better at this. Very good, I should keep going that direction. just a few minutes introspection to him. You know, people have the meetings. Okay, we're working this project. This is a little bit of a problematic thing. We'll put more resources into it. This one, we're doing very well. It's already moving forwards. Let's not put as much resources because we can use that elsewhere. They analyze and do that every week, have a staff meeting, decide like that. So we, about my own growth with my activity, I need to do that too. I'm wasting too much time watching too much TV in this way. I can use that for something better, something constructive, meditation or service. This, right? You know, this one, good. I'm getting very good at this. I'm doing my meditation. That's very good. Excellent. But this thing, I'm a little weaker. I'm not doing as much service. I'm doing more just my own thing. Let me do that. So something also I can do that. So this way I have to intelligently learn how to intelligently live my life so that I'm growing. I'll do as much service, purify as much. Then I can look into these things. Because the thing is, karma binds also. We say karma is binding. But the thing is, where am I at that I'm letting it bind me? One person's in the prison but feels okay. They're fine. One person's in prison and they're suffering so much. Right? We're all kind of like in house arrest anyway, you know. There's one fellow, he used to teach meditation prisons, yoga meditation. I think he's the first person who spearheaded doing this. He wrote a book on it. His name, I think, is Bo Lozov. And his book was called We're All Doing Time. Right? He would tell the prisoners, listen, some people would pay to go to a retreat to be in solitude, right? You're in a situation now where you don't have much to do. You're just fed, most of the time free to be there. You can sit and suffer, or you can do yoga, you can do meditation, you can use it for your growth. And he's really affected many lives by doing this. Many other programs have come up like that. So where I'm at, I'm bound by, or okay, where I'm at, what can I do best to keep growing? Like this. So I can cry prarabdha fate, or yes, I put that effort, it got me here, let me put even more effort to do better. Wherever I'm at, that's fine. I can, from here, I can grow. Of course, as next week when we look at the jnani's view of karma, even another, there how one is totally freed from it. But the thing is, if I'm too entangled in it, it's going to be very hard to free myself. I'll have some understanding, but it won't stick because the others, I'm so caught up in it. There isn't the citta shuddhi. So this citta shuddhi is so important, purification of mind, and the attitude of karma yoga really, really can help with having the karma be much looser clothing, not strangling me, much easier than to see through it. So this is where it's so important, like this. Developing this attitude. So in any case, it's samchittam, all the lifetimes it's accumulated, it's there. It'll fructify at some point in time when it's ripe. This lifetime has been set in motion, that's prarabdha, and it'll play through. It started, it'll play through, come to an end. The main things that it will go through are already set in motion. And the way we know is things from out of the blue suddenly change this way, so that we don't see reason. Was prarabdha. The moment that's finished, then it'll be gone. Moment prarabdha finished, then I die. Right? Like this. I die, body drops. Sukshma sharira, karana sharira still there. And according to whatever karma is ready to fructify, right time, place, I'll be born again, like this. And this moment, agami, is what I'm creating right now. Right now, whatever I do, creating new karma, and that will fructify. Some will affect this lifetime, some will go to samchitta for future lifetimes. What will fructify, how and when, we cannot tell. That's why adrishtam, we call it, unseen, the punya papa. And nothing is 100% punya, 100% papa, you can't tell. There'll be mostly punya, actions mostly meritorious, or mostly negative, or a mix. In Gita, I was saying how you can't have fire without smoke. So no action cannot have some negative thing. Everything will have some negative, some positive. You can't. But we do our best like this. So these are the three types of karma, which the jnani then is free from. And that's what we'll look into next time. Because for First, we want to understand the whole rule of karma. And one thing also, any law of nature, any law that is there, things work by that. That's how it just says how it works. And so understanding the law, then it's easier to work with it. If I don't understand, then what? But here, first action is reaction. Very simple. The motive behind, that's what's creating it. My motive behind, because that's creates the punya papa is more like moral plane. It's not the physical plane, so that's what's going to affect. And so the more I understand, the more I look into my motives, then the more it'll be I can work with it. Instead of, you know, you understand it, you understand the fire, you work with it. People understand, they make power plants, they know how to work with it, so it works fine. Right? Even so, in this, where otherwise could be something very dangerous to work with, but you know, so it works fine. So this way also, we learn how to work with it. Instead of thinking, poor me, my karma, why me? Right? Like that. So in this way. So let's leave it with this, and then next week we see how the jnani is free from karma. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So our karma is to be together for this hour or so. And if we have any questions about this topic, we can discuss a little bit. Very good. So one interesting point, we said karma causes the punya papa, these adrishta, and that causes then the sukha dukkha. So the karma pala is sukha dukkha. Right? The rest around is, you know, helps to bring it to you. You need some means to bring it to you. So then, and to experience it, you need some instruments, so you need the body, so you have to be born. Without the body, how are you going to go through and experience things here? So you need the body, which was said, sukha dukkha ayatanam, the abode for experiencing the world, experiencing sukha dukkha. Then I will be born situation and have family, not have family, have this, have job, have not job, have this, different things. Helps then to give the situation for sukha dukkha. Like this. So I get my ups and downs. I get that. That's the karma pala. The rest is just the something to bring it. You need some instrument to bring it to you, the cup to bring you the water. So it's the cup. The water is the karma pala. The cup is just to bring it to you. Like this. Very interesting. Like that. Mm-hmm. Catalyst. Is catalyst the word? Maybe. But like the cup for the water. Yes, please.
So if everything is the result of our past karma, and what is going to happen as a result of what we are doing right now, what role does, you know, we hear about Ishvara Kripa, you know, Ishvara's grace, Anugraha, what role does that play then, if any, in modifying karma?
Well, any effort has a result, right? So the thing is, your surrender is also part of it. Because I surrender, the more I surrender, my ego I drop, then the more easier for me to go through it. I'll say, Ishvara, help me go through this, because I surrendered more. I was more holding on, have difficulty in this. So I was not doing the effort of letting go and letting it go through. This is one thing you can say. So every effort has. like this. One disciple, Swami Vivekananda, he asked him, you know, please, I pray for your grace. He said, the wind of grace is ever there. You just need to raise the sails. Right? So your attitude brings that result. Right? The attitude then helps that to come. Because somebody has a very difficult time, their surrender they'll go through more easy, and that's the result of that. Because the karma is also how you think, your feeling, it's part of it too. Okay.
I think it's in a way of, suppose if you don't think in that perspective, right, like it will, the arrogance or the other gunas will come out, and you do it in a, if, oh, this is all me, what I'm doing, then maybe you do it in a wrong or whatever, means you accumulate a different karma than the karma, then when you surrender, so that's maybe can think of this.
Yeah, correct. And at this moment, it also helps you. Because this moment, if I'm doing as ego, there'll be more tension, there'll be more expectation, there'll be more worry like this, exaltation because I did well. Whereas I'm doing as surrendered, then whatever it is it goes through, I'll go through it much easier and it'll flow much easier, probably be more successful then than otherwise because, you know, I don't take it as myself doing. It takes like this. I'll give you a nice example, exactly this thing. My wife was building 10 years or 13 years ago, started whatever, the building Bhubaneswar, the house is there, and the dance school that she has, the Odissi dance school. So, and you know, she's here, she was there less than half the time, somebody else overlooking project. It wasn't easy building this building. So Swami Ram Sarupanandaji, she said to him, you know, this is very stressful to do. He said, why are you doing it? Let Jagannath do it. They're already, so they, you know, are Jagannath, so they're from Jagannath land. So that made such a difference. That so it went through much easier because didn't feel I have to do for this and this. So that's the surrender. The surrender then went much easier. Same project, but then it's not that I am doing, I have to do. Result is, you know, then I feel result is mine, take it on my shoulders. So I think that's it. When people say surrender, then some great thing came from this, that could also be, but sometimes surrender, negative thing comes, but they also accept it because the surrender was there, so you go through it much easier, like that.
I think in the AI world part, it is grounding. I think grounding the whatever LLM or, right? Like, so if because previously when LLM started, right, like artificially, so if you responded it in an arrogant way, it used to respond it in more, much more arrogantly, right, like the AI. But like now, nowadays, if you call it, oh, okay, it is subduing.
We'll surrender to AI. So good. So we'll have class next week. We'll finish the text. And then 1 week we don't have class because of the retreat day. And then 18th, which will be the week after, we'll do our conclusion summary and question answer, everything. We'll conclude the text. Then we have Memorial Day weekend. Then everything's new. New prarabdha to start after that. So we discussed, people brought some ideas. Now we were doing Bhagavad Gita before this. And we got to the 6th chapter. And one reason we went to Tattva Bodha is also in order to have more of an understanding of the general vision of Vedanta. So when I was looking at, I would like to go back to Gita. One reason is we did the first Shatkam, the first 6 verses, the 6 chapters. And that one is more about the individual, jiva. Now the next 6 goes, in general, focuses more on the totality. And so, and what, one interesting thing, at least most of the Vedantic texts I've looked at, they don't look as detailed much of the totality, and Gita gives some very nice things about it, like this. So I think it would be nice to continue with that, like this, because there it's going to discuss both totality, Ishvara, and the first part more about self-effort, here more about surrender, exactly what Arunji is asking. So there I'm sure it'll give a lot more, set a lot more light on surrender. So I think it would be a good thing to continue with this. I think those were in Gita before anyway, when you were doing Gita. So if you're in the class now and you just let me know if you're continuing or not, and then we'll see, we'll see if there's tremendous, half people not continuing this, and we find something else interesting, I don't mind, but I think it would be a good thing to continue that way. And another thing about when we take these things up, any text we take, we can learn from. It's like the mirror to show. So in the end, if we take this text, other text, we'll be learning and growing. But since we did that part of Gita that was more on self, I would like to continue that part, which is more about the totality, to continue with that. So, just let me know if you're continuing or not with us, and then we'll see accordingly. Okay. So very good. So have a very good week, and then we'll continue next time. Okay. Om.
Thank you.